What's up, everybody? Welcome to the TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. I'm Thomas.
I'm Tyson.
I studied exercise physiology and competed in many various sports ranging from wrestling to ultra running. I use that knowledge to combine today's science with ancient wisdom to live an optimal lifestyle and to spread that information onto the masses.
I'm a lifelong weightlifter and I'm obsessed with health and wellness. My degree in biology, with an emphasis in neurobiology, physiology, and behavior, allows me to take a deep dive into the most current literature and bring that information to you.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you'd like to show your support, please rate and review on your favorite podcast provider, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or SoundCloud. Also, sign up on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com, for all of our up-to-date content.
Let's get this started. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of TNT Wellness and Nutrition Podcast. This is episode 72. We're going to be talking about ways to do keto right. There's a lot of misinformation out there. We've already done a whole podcast on how to do keto wrong. So we're going to break down what you should do to get the best results with the keto diet. We obviously both love that. But first, let's do a quick check-in. So Tom, how's everything going?
Everything's been going really good. So this last week, I finally decided to up my training a little bit. Got my first double-digit run-in since, I don't know, end of August, whenever the last 50K I ran. Yeah. So this is the first time. I only did 10 miles, but I did it pretty good. It felt great. I wasn't dead. It wasn't that difficult. And so we talked about water a couple weeks back, maybe a month ago or so, and just kind of doing some research into it and just talking to you about like that whole water log book made me just kind of rethink how much like I really need water. So one thing I'm trying to do now is, if I'm going to go out on like a 4-hour, 25-mile run, I'm bringing water. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not going to be dumb. I'm definitely going to make sure I have like electrolytes, essential amino acids. I'm coming prepared for that. But if I'm going to go to the gym or just run around like my house, something like that, just doing like a 5 to 10 mile run, I'm trying to do as many of those as I can without water. And I also did this one without salt. Usually I'm like constantly salting, do a salt shot before every workout. This one, no water, no salt. This was like that. I did this run fasted, and it was at nighttime, too. I had a cup of coffee in the morning. That was the only fluids I had in me all day.
Wow.
So I'm definitely not properly, I don't know if I'm dehydrated, but I'm definitely not maxed out with water.
Yeah.
Did 10 miles, and one thing I ran into beginning of this year was around that 10 to 15 mile mark, almost like clockwork, my calves would start cramping up. This, I thought for sure this was going to pop up. I was like, you know, I've had this issue in the past. I'm not as well trained as I was last time I went running. Just paying attention for it. No issues whatsoever at all. 2 hours, no water, nothing. When I got home, I drank a ton of water.
Yeah.
I mean, like, but that's kind of expected.
Did you drink it with a meal? Or did you eat?
Yeah, I ate, like, right after.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I was just like, I was really shocked just like how well my body responded without any water, salt, anything like that. I mean, I was like that all day. This was like 6 o'clock at night when I started the run. So, I mean, I basically went almost 24 hours with just one cup of coffee in me.
Yeah, that's a trip.
Yeah, I was like really surprised like how little we actually like really need water.
Yeah.
I mean, I needed it after that run. That's for damn sure.
Yeah, we need water, but the notion that you need water 24/7, 365, especially for people living like a sedentary lifestyle, is not true.
Oh, no, not at all. And I was just thinking like I thought for sure I'd cramp up. Like, I'm doing the hardest run I've done in like the last 3 or 4 months. No salt.
You're
no
in like your worst, even though you're not out of shape, you're in your worst shape.
Yeah. Like, if I'm going to cramp up, like, out of all the times I've ever cramped, this is the time I bet the most money on it. Yeah. And I didn't.
Yeah.
So I was really surprised. Like, well, water's not as essential as we thought.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I don't even remember what episode that was. Like, it was in the 60s, but we talked about it. That was a real, that like sparked my interest for some reason, water and salt and training. So I did a little research into that, and super surprising answers that we came across. So you can listen to the podcast if you really want to, but we'll eventually do another podcast on salt and athletics. And I don't know if I have enough info on that yet to talk about it.
Well, you read two different books that had like really competing different information.
Yeah.
So, I mean, honestly, when it comes to that, I think it depends. Just like everything else in life.
It is. Yeah.
Depends on the circumstance. Depends on the individual.
Who you are, what you're doing, when you're doing it, all that type of stuff. It does.
Yeah.
But I still want to go into it for sure.
Yeah. So that's about it with me. What's new with you?
Oh, this week. So obviously we're doing a whole series on the keto diet. So like this week is going to be ways to do keto right. But eventually, I wanted to talk about, everyone's talks, well, if you're in this little bubble at least, you talk about the keto diet being therapeutic. You hear that word term like thrown around a lot. And I know a little bit about it, you know, but I was like, what's really going on with why keto is therapeutic? So this week I've been really looking into the NAD to NADH ratio. Have you, you've heard people throw that around, right?
Yes.
Have you ever taken that deep dive?
No.
Okay. But you believe it. Like, okay, the NAD-NADH ratio, it's better on a ketogenic diet, but why? You know? So that's actually going to be, I initially was going to do a podcast, or I wanted to do a podcast on keto and therapeutics, and that was going to be a whole podcast with everything. Way too much information. So what I want to do now, actually I haven't even talked to you about this yet, but I will now, obviously. I want to talk about, I want this shit to go on for like at least 5 episodes. So I want to do keto therapeutics, NAD-NADH ratio.
Okay.
Keto therapeutic heart disease. Keto therapeutic diabetes, and go through what aspects of the keto diet help with these chronic conditions.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Because I've been reading too much of all that. If I would talk about all that in one episode, it'd be a fucking 5-hour episode.
Either that or just be super dumbed down so we can get through everything.
Exactly. And I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I've been reading a lot about this, I guess I'll call it a molecule, methylglyoxal. You ever heard of that?
Maybe. I don't know.
Probably not, because I never heard of it.
I mean, maybe they pronounce it different.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, yeah, that's true. I've been reading it. I've never actually heard anyone say it. But you are going to hear a lot about it, because it's blown my mind, the stuff I've learned about this compound. It's a glycating agent that comes, obviously, from a carb-based diet, from dietary glucose. And it's just blown my mind. And I've stumbled across a few papers. They're not, like, they don't have any bias from a dietary perspective. They're not, like, plant-based people or keto people. They're just talking, like, literally, I don't know, biochemistry, like, okay, what's going on. And how, if you just read this shit, how negative they spin glycolysis, and how they've talked about a few molecules that are only in an animal-based diet that are super helpful, like, super healthy. And I was like, oh, this is fucking music to my ears. It's just, I'm going to talk about it all, obviously, in a few weeks once I get all the notes done. But, it just reinforces everything about how crappy our metabolism runs on carbs and how healthy it runs on an animal-based, fat-based diet.
Okay, good.
I mean, I've been hitting gold mines lately. Like, I don't know how many tabs I have open on my laptop. It's probably like 300. But it's been, I don't know, it's been, I'm a huge nerd. That's what I'm finding out. Like, when I stumble across this shit, I love it, man. It really makes my day.
Yeah, you know, it's great reading something. I mean, I love learning something, but I also love having, like, my beliefs reinforced.
Oh, of course. It's a great feeling.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't going into it with that, but these people just reinforce it so much. Talking about, I'll say, carnosine. Remember we talked about the one thing, carnosine, you can't get that in plant-based diet?
Yeah. Is it the 5 C's?
Yeah, one of the 5 C's, exactly. So we talk about, it's creatine, carnosine, carnitine, cholesterol, and choline, I believe. And those all come from an animal-based diet, not from a plant-based diet. And I don't know. It's just, carnosine's a trip, man. Carnosine is way more than I thought it did. And now I know.
Well, I guess everybody else will know, too, in a couple weeks.
Yeah, once I get all this shit done. But yeah, it's cool. TNT, wellnessandnutrition.com. Whole food nutrition rediscovered. If you are struggling looking to improve your health or optimize your lifestyle, you can sign up for a custom meal plan on our website, tntwellnessandnutrition.com. Back to today's topic. But yeah, so let's get into ways to do keto right. That's what we're going to be talking about. I think there's a lot of ways to do keto wrong. So where do we want to start with?
So the very first thing that you should do if you're trying to like do a ketogenic diet is you want to make it sustainable. So, I mean, that's true if you're doing a paleo diet, full-on carnivore. I mean, if you're just eating whole foods, whatever. You want to make it sustainable. You don't want to go on, like, a 500-calorie-a-day diet. Because that's going to work until it doesn't. And when it stops working, you're going to rebound back so much more. Probably more than where you started at.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, like, let's say you start at 200 pounds. You lose 50, so you're down to 150. After that, after those 500 calorie days, you can't do those anymore. You're going to rebound back to 200, maybe 210. And there's plenty of studies showing that. There's a gigantic one with the Biggest Losers competition. We've talked about that numerous times when we talk about keto and stuff like that.
And honestly, you don't even have to read a study to know that. We all have friends who you know. Look at the girl who, like, for her wedding, dieted down hard. Check her out in a couple years. You know what I mean? Most of them put their weight back on.
I mean, maybe you don't even need to ask a friend. Maybe it's, we're talking about you right now.
Yeah,
I mean, like, most people have done that. I've experienced that, too.
Yeah.
I mean, especially with wrestling, like, cut down so much weight. And then after the season...
That bounce.
Yeah. One guy on our team wrestled, like, 152s. And then, like, 2 months later, after the season, he was over 200 pounds.
Crazy.
Yeah. I mean, that's not even... I mean, that sounds like a lot. But, I mean, there's plenty of professional fighters, I'm sure amateur fighters, that are doing that all the time.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, they'll cut down 20 pounds in a week. Like, it's not a big deal.
Yeah. So, yeah, when we talk about making it sustainable, so you want to have... I mean, I don't really measure anything in calories. I don't really look at that. But just eating until you're full. Eating until you're content every single day. Something that you could do today, you can do that in 2 months, you can do that in 2 years. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't need to... I don't think you need to measure your macros to be considered like a proper ketogenic diet. Like, if you eat till you're full, if you eat the right things, which we'll go over, you'll be fine. You don't need to track your fat. You don't need to track your protein. It's going to be fine. The one macro that really does come into play with a ketogenic diet, at least for the vast majority of people, if you're a hyper athlete, it kind of doesn't, but that's kind of a technicality. But for everybody else out there, you want to keep your carbs low. That's going to be the trigger that induces ketosis. And that's just the production of ketone bodies. And that comes from us burning body fat for fuel. If you really want to nerd out and check out the science, you can check out our Keto Explained podcast a few back. I think it was 69. So we go into really what that is if you really want to know. But just from a top level perspective, if you keep your carbohydrates low, preferably under 30 grams a day, you're going to be in ketosis. You're going to be burning body fat for fuel. And that's really what we want. Are ketone bodies cool? Yes, they are. Are they a very efficient, very healthy fuel source? Yes, they are. Are they the end goal of all this? No. The end goal is simply to be efficient at burning body fat. That's what we can really care about. We don't really care if you piss out, I don't know, 0.8 on a ketone strip.
No, that doesn't really matter. I don't know. What are you going to do with that information?
Exactly, right? We just care that you're burning body fat for fuel efficiently. And that is extremely healthy, and that does, or that eventually will, change your body. You'll be leaner, and you'll look better. And that's usually the goal for the vast majority of people. That's why most people get on the ketogenic diet.
Yeah, definitely. And so I know a lot of people talk about total carbs versus net carbs. When we're talking about carbs, I'm including fiber in it. So, I mean, without 30 grams of carbs is just total carbs.
Yeah, I agree.
And even though, like, we didn't mention it, I think we talked about it a little bit last week with, like, artificial sweeteners. I would count artificial sweeteners as part of this carb allowment just because you don't know if there's going to be an insulin response to it or not. And that's the real thing that we're trying to do by eliminating our carbs is eliminating our insulin response.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, carbs, fiber, sweeteners, all that, 30 grams or a day or less.
Yeah, some people don't even count, like, carbs from vegetables. They say, you know, if it comes from anything that's green, it doesn't count as carbs at all. And I completely disagree with that. Like, that is going to be on a real... I guess, strict ketogenic diet, your only form of glucose is going to be from vegetables.
Yeah, I mean, there's a ton in potatoes.
That shit counts.
Carrots, stuff like that.
Yeah.
I mean, fruit. Yeah, there's going to be a lot of carbs that, yeah, it's going to add up.
Like, people, or at least the, I don't know, general narrative, like, vegetables always get a pass. Like, no one will ever tell you to eat less vegetables.
Oh, they can't.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I'm saying you have to, okay? Like, this diet, you want to keep all that stuff low. And of course, I'm a zero vegetable guy. I think vegetables are stupid and pointless, but that's just my opinion, and my opinion is informed as shit, but hey, so be it.
Yeah. All right, so we talked about a lot of what we need to limit, what we can't eat. So let's just talk about what you should be eating.
Yeah.
So the best thing you can do...
All the bars with Marketo, right? That's what we need to eat?
I mean, maybe. I mean, Epic Brand's a good one.
That's true.
They're just straight meat.
Yeah.
Those are probably good ones. Other than that, I don't really know. I know the Atkins brand has been completely bastardized. That's not Atkins. That's not keto. I don't know what that is. Probably just straight junk.
I know.
So, like, the best thing is to eat whole foods. And by whole foods, we mean pretty much what's on the outside of the grocery store minus, like, the bakery area. So...
Sorry.
So, like, produce, dairy... and like the meat department.
Yeah.
Ideally, most of it's going to be coming from the meat department, especially from a calorie standpoint. It's also good to do the best you can afford. So I'm a big advocate of either heritage breed animals or at least like pasture raised. So like I'm spending $5 a dozen on eggs. I don't really mind. I have the money to do it. That's fine. But if you're feeding a family of 12 and you can't afford to buy $5 a dozen eggs because you're running through 2 dozen eggs every breakfast, the best you can do is like the white Convention Farm ones. Hey, that's better than anything else you're going to put on that plate. So yeah. go with the cheap eggs if that's what you can do. If you can't afford the grass-fed ground beef, go with normal ground beef. There's, I mean, like, we're talking about splitting hairs here. Like, it's do the best you can afford. If the best you can afford is not the best, it's still better than nothing.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, my hot take is that the worst raised egg coming from the worst raised chicken is healthier than the healthiest vegetable from a vitamins and minerals standpoint.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, especially when you're talking about comparing that egg to, like, milk and cereal, to, like, a bowl of Frosted Flakes, something like that that's going to have so much sugar, anti-nutrients, sprayed with glyphosate, which is a poison that causes cancer. Yeah, the egg is far superior in so many different ways.
Yeah, we talk about nutrient density. Like, eggs are so nutrient-dense, and that's really what we're talking about from whole foods. Whole foods are going to be nutrient-dense, and that's what you need in a proper diet. So, a lot of people... One of the huge benefits of the ketogenic diet is actually allows people to control their appetite for the first time in their lives. So once you're able to tap into your own body fat for fuel, which will happen, there is a keto adaption phase. So how long would you say, for maybe 3 days or 3 weeks?
I mean, it depends so much on how deranged your metabolism is to start with. Like age too, like the younger you are, the easier it's going to be because most likely your metabolism shouldn't be that damaged. The more like active you are, it's going to be a little bit easier too. Males tend to adapt faster than women do. There's like so much with that, but yeah, somewhere within 3 days to 3 weeks to months. I mean,
yeah, it can take a while. Varies, yeah. It does vary a lot. So there can be, go ahead.
Oh, and like, how much are you sticking to the diet? Are you cheating every other day? Like, that's going to make it a lot harder. Are you doing those fat bombs? Are you doing those,
even keto bars,
the artificial sweeteners? Are you drinking Diet Pepsi every single day? Like, you know, there's some other things.
Yeah, there is a lot of other things to consider. But if you are, you know, really sticking to the diet hardcore, there is going to be a keto adaption phase, and give it 3 days, give it 3 weeks. Supplement with more salt. That's definitely a good tactic. A lot of the times, you're simply deficient in salt because your kidneys start dumping more salt in a ketogenic diet. That's because the hormone insulin decreases on a ketogenic diet because you're not eating a bunch of carbohydrates, and that hormone, when insulin lowers, your kidneys dump more salt. So a little tip when you start the ketogenic diet is a supplement with a little more salt every day, something in the morning, either just you can take it straight with water, or you can just simply salt your meals a little bit more. You can salt your vegetables, they'll taste way better. Especially like, you can put salt and butter on broccoli, all of a sudden broccoli's
so much better.
So do that, and that'll help the keto adaptation phase. And I was going to talk about just how whole foods makes you feel fuller. And it's really about the nutrient density in those whole foods that really helps with satiety. And that's what the ketogenic, or that's one of the huge benefits of the ketogenic diet, is just you're full all day, so you can actually stick to it, to touch back on sustainability. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And to talk about the salt thing, so you're most likely going to be removing a lot of processed foods from your diet. And processed foods have so much salt in it. So if you're no longer eating potato chips, there's a ton of salt in those potato chips. So to make up for that, you're going to have to salt your food. One of the best sources I have is bone broth. Like, I add bone broth or add salt to the bone broth while I'm cooking it, and then I'll add a little bit more to it right before I drink it. So like, there's a ton of salt in that. That's one way I do it. And then, like you said, salting your vegetables. You can buy salted butter, so you don't even have to think about adding that salt too. Like, that's another little trick you can use.
Yep.
Also, buy a good salt. Like, we both use Redmond's Real Salt. You can find that on Amazon. You can find that in a lot of like health food stores too. I guess the next best one would be Celtic sea salt or Pink Himalayan.
Yeah.
Something that's not from an ocean, something that's from like an ancient sea. That's what you want to look for.
Yeah, there's, I mean, obviously everyone knows we got a problem with trash in this world.
Yeah,
you definitely. Know, obviously we are, just as humans, we produce too much of it. And like, our brilliant idea is just to dig holes and dump it or throw it in the ocean. You know what I'm saying? Because we got this whole thing figured
out. Maybe somebody else's problem.
Exactly. Yeah. Even though that's really sad. But so all other salts coming from modern oceans have microplastic in them. So I'm not saying this microplastic is going to kill you, but our lives are stressed out enough as it is. We introduce so many random stressors, more than we think about every day. Even the phones you're listening to this to, or the car you're driving, produce like EMFs, and our bodies are having to deal with that stressor as well. So let's just reduce the amount of stressors. That's one of the reasons why getting a salt from an ancient ocean, somewhere where during that time the salt was formed, plastic wasn't even invented yet, you're not going to be getting plastic from these ancient salts.
Yeah, that's a great point. Just, yeah, eliminating as many toxins as you can because we're surrounded by them.
Yeah.
I think we did an entire podcast on just how many toxins are around us.
Even on our clothes, people don't even think about.
Oh, yeah. Cotton clothes are sprayed with glyphosate. I mean, probably, hopefully that's washed off after one or two times. I don't really know.
I don't know either.
Yeah. Another thing with that, those salts, though, the one that we recommend, is if you look at, like, the mineral profile, salt is more than just sodium, by the way. There's a lot of other minerals, magnesium, phosphorus, potassium, like all these other minerals are in there, especially like iodine. Like you can look at some of the higher quality salts and they'll show you how many different minerals there are in them. So don't think of salt as just sodium. Like it's a full mineral profile.
100%.
Especially the higher profile ones.
Yes. Like Redmond's Real Salt has damn near everything in it.
Yeah, and it's one of the very few ones that has iodine in it that isn't actually added to it later.
Exactly. It's a natural source.
Yeah. Iodine is essential. I think the only sources are pretty much from salt. Or most of it?
I think so, yeah. Yeah, and that's responsible for, honestly, our thyroid hormones. So our body needs iodine to produce the T3 and T4. So without that, your thyroid is going to go to shit. Yeah. And trust me, when your thyroid goes to shit, you'll know it because it'll suck.
Yeah. So let's just kind of talk about what some basic like keto meal should look like. I think when I think of keto, I think of bacon and eggs.
For sure.
I mean, if you're going to see like somebody has a keto t-shirt on it, most likely it's going to have some like bacon and eggs on there, something like that. That seems to be like the go-to meal.
So you're saying that's okay to eat every day, bacon and eggs?
If I'm eating bacon and eggs every day. There are days I don't eat, but like if I eat that day, bacon and eggs are pretty much on the menu.
Yeah, bacon and eggs are fine every day. There's a narrative out there, people are worried about cholesterol, don't be. There's a narrative out there, they have to be worried about animal-sourced foods, don't be. They're extremely healthy, cholesterol is extremely healthy. Have we talked about that in the past? Yes, we have. So feel free to look through those episodes. So in the context, usually what happens on a keto diet is your HDL goes up, your triglycerides go down, your insulin goes down. And in that context, like you don't need to worry about dietary cholesterol at all. Like eat bacon and eggs is fine to eat every day. Honestly, you can eat that shit 3 meals a day every day and you'd be fine.
Oh, you'd be thriving. I mean, eggs are one of the best sources of protein. You're pretty much eating an entire animal by eating an egg. And yeah, then you're getting the muscle meat from the bacon. Not a lot of muscle meat, but a little bit.
Yeah, and fat as well. You're getting nice lard.
I don't know what you'd be deficient in.
Nothing.
I can't imagine anything, really.
Nothing, no. You'd be healthier than the vast majority of everyone.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's delicious. I don't get sick of it.
Me either.
So yeah, that's one basic one. I mean, you could replace the bacon with some sort of fatty sausage if you'd like. I don't really know what you can replace eggs with. I love eggs.
Me too.
And if you get sick of them one way, you can cook them a million other ways. You can even hard boil them, bring them as a snack. Like, eggs are so versatile. I love eggs.
You know, it's funny. You know how many eggs I'm eating right now in my routine? Every day?
A dozen? 36.
20.
Okay.
I'm eating 10 eggs post-workout and 10 eggs before bed, along with a couple pounds of beef. So.
Damn. Mine's a lot lower. I was doing between, like, 8 and a dozen. I'm like about 3 or 4 per day right now.
Mm-hmm.
But once my training starts getting higher and higher, I'll up it.
You increase it, yeah. I should clarify. I'm eating 20 yolks a day.
Okay.
I'm not eating the whites, but yeah. I know if some like bodybuilder came to my house, they'd be like, "This dude's crazy. He's throwing away all these whites."
So. All that protein.
I know, right?
So yeah, that's like one meal. Another good meal would look like, I don't know, some sort of fatty piece of meat, some ribeye. If you're on a budget, maybe like a chicken thigh, something like that, that's going to form up at least half the plate, somewhere around there. And then the other half, if you aren't Tyson and you want to do some vegetables, some lower carb vegetables, some squash. I'm a big fan of squash. That's one of the like lower, is it allergenic? I'm trying to think like some of the vegetables that are a lot less likely to cause issues.
Well, squash is low in oxalates.
Yeah,
I know that.
Okay. I know, like, that's one of the... We've been eating squash a lot longer. I mean, squashes are zucchini, like, your typical, like, yellow squash. Yeah, summer squash. Pumpkins are a type of squash. Like, there's a big variance there. But, like, basically the rule of thumb is you remove the seeds. You can remove the skin, too, if you're, like, really concerned about, like, lectins and stuff like that. But, yeah, that's a pretty good one. I don't think that many people are allergic to those.
Yeah, I think as far as vegetables go, squash is one of the more neutral ones. I mean, not even neutral, beneficial ones. And it's also a better source of magnesium as well. So magnesium is real hard to get from our diet just nowadays, just the world. So having good source of magnesium is a definitely benefit.
Yeah, especially one that's going to be low in oxalates as well.
Yes.
Because like the some of the other ones that are like great sources of magnesium are great sources of oxalates. So it kind of negates some of the benefit.
Mm-hmm. And phytate as well. Both of them are going to bind to the magnesium and make it pretty much unavailable to our body. Our body simply won't absorb it. So what's the point at that stage?
Yeah, exactly. So yeah, some of the other ones, like a lot of people recommend eat tons of like green, dark green leafy vegetables, like kale and spinach. But like what we just talked about, super high in magnesium, super high in oxalates. And most of the time when you're eating something like spinach or kale, most likely you're going to eat that raw. So you're getting all those anti-nutrients and your body's going to have such a hard time digesting it, getting any sort of benefit from it because like you didn't break down any of those cell walls. So eating something like raw vegetables, like dark leafy greens, I don't think is that beneficial. I think you're probably going to cause more harm than good.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's pointless. And I think that's a real danger with dark leafy greens is that people, I think it's just the narrative nowadays that eating them raw is just normal.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like raw salads, raw shakes, that type of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, like, we talk a lot about, like, processing, how processing is bad. Well, sometimes processing, like cooking, can actually be beneficial.
Because cooking removes some of these harmful compounds.
Yeah, and that not only does it do that, it, like, yeah, it destroys a lot of these anti-nutrients, but also breaks down the cell wall to make the nutrients more bioavailable. So it's doing, like, a 1-2 combo.
And with vegetables, we need to do that.
Yeah.
Because we don't have the enzymes to do that.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, so one of the best sources of magnesium from a dietary standpoint is, like, boiled spinach with the water.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of the top sources. I mean, that sounds really weird, but...
And gross. Who wants that shit?
If you're making a soup, not so weird.
I'm not eating spinach, so I'm trying to grow.
I mean, like, you add some soup, you add some...
Yeah, some beef to it. Yeah,
add some other stuff to it, some liver. Because, like, hey, that's an easy way to get your organ meats.
That's true.
Just through some soup, something like that. So there's our ways to do it. I think soups are one of the most healthiest foods you can eat.
Yeah.
And
part of that is because you're getting the fluid that the food's cooked in.
Yeah, so you're not losing, like, anything, really.
Yeah.
Just, like, some of those vegetables, I mean, I would avoid stuff like, potatoes and carrots. Just combine them.
Yeah. Fuck those birds.
They talk too much. Stuff like that. I'm trying to think, what are some of the other, like, go-to vegetables? I'm a big fan of mushrooms.
Yeah, mushrooms are great. And you know a little bit. Mushrooms technically aren't even vegetables.
Yeah, they're not vegetables. They're not animals. Like, they're kind of like their own thing. They're fungi. They're their own different thing. But when you talk about, like, bioavailability, the nutrients from mushrooms are, like, so much better than, like, plants. It's not even comparable.
Yeah, mushrooms are nice.
Not quite up there with animal sources, but it's a happy medium.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. One of the vegetables that I think is very commonly prescribed on the keto diet is broccoli. And I hate broccoli. And mainly, I mean, obviously it doesn't taste good. If you like broccoli, you really don't. You're just lying to yourself. But one of the things we talked about earlier is iodine and how people develop something called goiters when they're low in iodine. And that's simply their thyroid kind of swells up. It's not a good look. Go ahead and Google it. But that's really because they have these, I guess, molecules called goitrogens, and they block your thyroid from absorbing iodine. And these goitrogens are very high in broccoli. So you have, and guess what how people eat broccoli normally?
Raw.
They eat it raw, right? Not too many people cook broccoli. I mean, sometimes you do, but even then, goitrogens are still going to be in there to some degree. And people start the ketogenic diet trying mostly to change their body composition. Well, guess what? Go ahead. You go on the keto diet. You're eating chicken and broccoli every day, covered in butter, which is fine, which is keto. You know, you're going to fit your macros. But if your thyroid is compromised, your metabolism is not going to be capable of changing your body. Like, you need a healthy metabolism. So I definitely recommend people avoid broccoli just all around. You know, goitrogens are no fun.
And most likely, if you are turning to a keto diet to lose weight, your thyroid is probably not optimal. There's probably some damage there already. So you should want to limit as much stress on your thyroid as possible.
Same thing we talk about the microplastics. Yeah. Our body's stressed out enough as is. Why introduce these other things?
Well, I think you talked about it last week in the What's New with the Omegas is there's two ways you can benefit something. You can either add something that's beneficial or you can remove something that's causing issues. I mean, ideally, you should be doing both at the same time.
Yeah.
But just removing stuff that's causing issues, you can see a lot of benefit from.
Yeah, very true. So yeah, that's a good, so bacon and eggs, you can eat keto every day. A nice fatty cut of meat. It doesn't have to be primetime meat. Even like Tom said, chicken thigh with a squash is good. And on the ketogenic diet, which makes it great, you can cover the chicken and the vegetables in how much butter? In all the butter?
As much as you can eat, pretty much. I mean, I don't use as much butter as I used to, but everything is covered in fat.
Yeah.
It makes everything taste so much better. And the reason that it's tasting so much better is because you're getting so many nutrients from it. Your body is craving it.
It knows. Our brain knows. Yeah.
You're getting so many vitamins, minerals. I mean, it's getting everything your body could possibly need, and it loves it.
Oh, butter's delicious.
Yeah.
So I don't personally add butter to my meals, at least not anymore, but my wife does butter coffee every morning. This morning, she had like, I don't know, maybe like an eighth of a stick left. And she's like, oh, this isn't enough for my butter coffee. Maybe I'll just get a new stick. Do you want this? And I just took it and ate it straight. And it was delicious.
That's pretty funny.
Oh, butter's so good. So that's one of the benefits. People talk about the ketogenic diet not being sustainable. And guess what? Butter tastes so good. Put butter on everything and your meals are going to taste delicious. Like, that is very sustainable.
I've been following a ketogenic diet for at least 3 years now. I don't know. I've kind of like lost track of time, but
yeah, me too.
Part of the reason I've lost track of time is because it's so easy. Like, if I was on any other diet, like, I'd be counting, oh yeah, I've been doing this for that long, because I'd be prideful about it. I don't even think about it.
Yeah.
It's just so natural. Like, I wouldn't even want to go back to any other way of eating. And it's so sustainable. Like, I don't see me eating any other way for the rest of my life. Or not for, like, a long period of time.
Yeah. Someone recently asked me, like, because they know I do the carnivore diet, which is just a form of the ketogenic diet. Like, don't think the carnivore diet isn't ketogenic. It 100% is. They're like, you know, are you going to do this? Like, are you going to switch it? And I was like, no, I'm going to do this forever. Because I'm all about being optimal. I'm all about being healthy. And this is healthy.
Yeah.
Like, it's so healthy. It's so optimal.
Like, the only times, like, I might change is, like, you know, right now around the holidays, I'm probably not in ketosis as much as I would be middle of July, because, like, you know, I got a lot more cookies around the house and pies and stuff like that. But I mean, any other time, like, yeah, I'm not gonna eat cookies and pie every day for the next year and a half.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why a lot of people don't think it's sustainable, and the only reason it wouldn't be sustainable is if you're doing it wrong.
Yeah.
So, like, one of the things we need to talk about, so we talk about ways to add fat, add butter to damn near everything, eat fatty pieces of meat. Honestly, bacon, add bacon to whatever you want to. I cook a lot of, I'll cook bacon just so I have that fat to cook other things in it.
Yeah.
And then I'll be snacking on the bacon while I'm eating a steak or like cooking some squash in it or something like that.
Yeah, lard tastes so good.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
And it's so nutrient dense too. But other than fat, like protein, how much protein do you really need?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it kind of depends on person to person. Personally, I think everybody on the planet, even if you're not an athlete, should get at least 1 gram per pound of body weight in protein. That's just me, because I'm kind of in my more centric towards the bodybuilding aspect. I am.
Well, do you mean ideal body weight or do you mean like current body weight?
Well, I mean, I guess if you're 400 pounds, maybe not. Maybe if your ideal weight's 200 pounds and maybe like, shoot for 200.
Yeah, like if you're 400 pounds and you're 40% body weight. I don't know if, or yeah, body fat.
Maybe not.
Yeah, I don't know about 400 grams. It's right.
Yeah, that's true. So maybe ideal body weight, or you can do pounds per lean body weight if you are definitely a heavy set person. So I think you should stick. So if you're 200 pounds, you're 20% body weight, then maybe 160 grams of protein a day would be a good marker. But I don't even think you really need to track that. I think if you're doing a ketogenic properly, you're going to be eating obviously meat. For just the nutrient density of it, it's so healthy that you're going to eat enough meat because you have to replace these carbohydrates with something. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to replace the rice with something. So you replace it with more beef, with more chicken, with more fish. You're naturally going to increase your protein. And if you eat to satiety, which you're going to, you should, you know, don't limit your portion sizes. You're going to most likely consume enough protein on the ketogenic diet.
If you're not consuming enough protein, you'll be hungry. You'll know.
You'll know.
And if you're consuming too much protein, the only ways to really consume too much protein is by not consuming enough fat.
Yeah, you have to try, really.
Yeah, and you'll also be hungry. You'll be nauseous, even though you've had a lot of food. You can listen to our protein poisoning podcast on, like, kind of symptoms of having too much protein. But you should be, it shouldn't be that difficult to figure out. You'll be kind of irritated, even though you had a lot of food that day. You'll still be hungry, even though you had a lot of food. So, like, those are, it's not really the amount of either one that you get. It's the ratio.
Yeah, exactly. So I think just like we said, the meals, like a good ketogenic meal is going to be a meat base. So you get your protein, you get your vitamins and minerals with added fat and vegetables if you want. And if you do that, if that's going to be the basis of all your meals, you're going to get adequate protein and you're going to get adequate fat. And I mean, that's really to talk about all the other macro molecule, which is fat. That's the backbone of this diet. The bulk of your calories are going to come from fat. And I know that's hard for a lot of people to accept because fat has been, I mean, it's been blamed for everything for the last, I don't know, 80 years.
Oh, I know. It's kind of crazy. I mean, everything that should be blamed on sugar is blamed on fat.
Yeah. So, I mean, fat and associated cholesterol has been blamed for everything. But trust me, all that science is BS. It's very shoddy. And it's just, it's corruption. It's really what it is. So fat, especially animal source fat, is very healthy. And any fat from nature is healthy. The only unhealthy fats is the type of shit that we create, like margarine or some bullshit, like fake shit that we make in a tub.
Crisco, canola oil, yeah. Random stuff like that.
That type of shit is horrible for you. So things like, you know, you get a soybean, you know what I'm saying? We have to crush it, expel the oil, mix it with some solvent to make it not, you know, completely disgusting. That type of fat is unhealthy. But the fat you find in a steak, the fat you find with eggs, the fat you find with bacon is extremely healthy. And that is going to be the backbone of the diet. So the dietary fat you introduce is eventually going to turn your body into a better fat burner. And that's what we want with the ketogenic diet. That is very healthy.
Yeah, so when we talk about like some of the macros, like with this, fat should be, I would say from like 60% to like 85% of the diet, somewhere around there. Maybe,
for sure.
Maybe 90% if you're like really dealing with a chronic illness, that's pretty far.
And you're zero carb.
Yeah. But yeah, somewhere between that. I think most people are like 75% fat to 65% fat, somewhere around there. But you can go a little bit more depending on if you're more active or you really can't have any sort of insulin spikes.
Yeah.
If you have epilepsy, maybe you're severely diabetic, something along those lines.
You know, I guess it's kind of a side tangent, but my keto research I've been doing, I guess beta hydroxybutyrate for, because Tom talked about epilepsy. So that's one of the, I guess, hallmarks of the ketogenic diet is that if you have epilepsy, you suffer from seizures, the ketogenic diet can damn near cure you. At least the vast majority of people, it can. But I didn't look into this too deeply, but I guess beta-hydroxybutyrate doesn't have a lot of anti-convulsant properties in the brain. The main ketone body that does do that is acetoacetate.
Okay.
But we talked about it in Keto Explained. The primary ketone body is beta-hydroxybutyrate. So I think, this is just me, they didn't mention it in the post, but maybe people who suffer from epilepsy do well when they're in deep ketosis, like 1.0 and more, is maybe because that increases the amount of acetoacetate. Because if you're at 0.5, it's primarily beta-hydroxybutyrate.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Makes sense, right?
Yeah, the deeper ketosis, you'll have more of those molecules.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's a side note. That's just me nerding out. But yeah, so don't fear fat at all. Like, that is going to be the main thing. It's going to help make you feel full. It's going to give you so much energy throughout the day. And that's one of the huge benefits of the ketogenic diet as well, is just sustained energy. You don't have those simple sugar spikes every day where you eat a sandwich and you get this sugar in your blood, you feel good for 30 minutes, and you crash. You get a slow burn throughout the whole day. And that's really what you want.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So we talked about fat, protein. Protein, you need, like Tyson said earlier, try to get close to your body weight, your ideal body weight in grams per pound. So for me, that's like 150 grams of protein. My fat generally is about 150 grams of fat to 200 grams of fat, somewhere around there. That puts me right in that. Normally my diet is 65-35 fat to protein, maybe 75-25, somewhere around that range. What are you normally at? You're like 60-40?
Yeah, I'm usually around 60-40. My protein is always a little elevated, and that's simply because I eat so much meat every day. And I, from a body composition standpoint, I'm really about, I guess, carrying a little more muscle. So I always like having more protein in my diet.
Yeah. And I do a little bit of carbs. I'm probably between like 0 to 5% carbs. You're at zero carbs.
Yeah.
So if you are a zero carber, generally, you are going to have a little bit more protein, so you can convert some of that protein into glucose,
mm-hmm.
just for, you know, your brain, red blood cells, muscles, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So Tyson's a big guy, very muscular, zero carbs. He needs a lot of extra protein for the gluconeogenesis.
Yeah, my body does, it does fine on like 60-40, even like 50-50. It's pretty sustainable for me, so I can do that. And yeah, I think it's great.
Yeah, the only people that should be down, I mean, like the ratios range from about 50-50 to 90-10, somewhere around there. The only people that really need to be limiting their protein to like that 10% are epilepsy patients. I think that's about it. Maybe if you have cancer, maybe. I mean, because of the glutamine effect, but I'm not really sure how much that really affects it.
Yeah, me either.
We've looked into it a little bit, but not taken that much of a deep
dive. Yeah, not enough to have a hard opinion on it. Yeah. We know cancer cells can ferment glutamine, and that's a problem. Obviously, giving your cancer fuel is giving your cancer a life, so you don't want to do that. But honestly, if you cut your protein to zero, good luck, you know?
Yeah, and especially glutamine, because glutamine's used in so many different things.
Oh, like, that's the backbone for everything, damn near.
Like, that's how we make antioxidants, is with glutamine. So, yeah. Like, eliminating that, like, okay, maybe you starve your cancer, but now you're going to die from pneumonia or something else. Like, yeah. So, yeah, limiting the glutamine is kind of tricky.
Yeah, it is. Hopefully, we'll break that down at some point.
Oh, yeah, we'll get to it.
We need to get that Thomas Seyfried book.
That's my goal for Christmas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 2020, we'll have an in-depth cancer series.
For sure.
Yeah.
I'm actually really looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah, definitely. So, another thing that's kind of going to depend on how you should formulate your diet is just kind of... We talked about, like, your body composition and size a little bit. So if you're more muscular, you can get away with more protein. You can get away with a little bit more carbs if you're extremely active. Tyson, did you talk about that study on air, or was that just between me
and you? No, that was just between me and you. Okay. There's, yeah, I'll touch on it briefly here. There was I read a post, I think it was this morning, some study that it was a marathon runners running a 20-hour marathon. Even some, they ate 300 grams of carbs a day. Some ate upwards of 600 grams of carbs a day. And they would measure their blood ketones. And by the end, all of them were still in ketosis. I think they did measure their blood ketones as 0.3 and above as ketosis.
Okay.
When normally it's 0.5.
Yeah.
So 0.3 is pretty low. But, you know, whatever. I guess we're splitting hairs. But that just... And the conclusion by this paper was that, you know, it's not about the macromolecules. You can eat carbs and still be in ketosis. And... Like we've talked about a million times, to dumb this shit down, you kind of have to, you're going to be somewhat wrong. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you're running 20 hours a day and you're a lean, like ultra marathon runner, yeah, bro, you can eat 300 grams of carbs. No one listening to this can run 20 hours right now.
Yeah. I mean, that's not sustainable to be doing.
We're talking about the 0.001%.
Yeah. I'm just using it as like an example of, hey, if you're somebody that does CrossFit or you are like an ultra runner, maybe that 30 grams of carbs can turn into like 50 or 100.
Sure.
Or if you're somebody LeBron James size playing a full game of basketball, you can probably get away with like 150, maybe 200, somewhere around there. So like that 30 grams of carbs a day that we talked about earlier, that applies to like sedentary, like
average
sedentary individuals. If you're either hyperactive, just really big, or, you know, like then those numbers are going to change a little bit.
Yeah.
So that's one thing that can change it. But on the other side, like, yeah, if you're kind of like how Tyson is, lean, really muscular, you can get away with a lot less carbs and by replacing that with protein.
Mm-hmm.
So playing with that lever as well. The one thing that has to stay high, though, is the fat. You can only play with fat for so long. You can do things like a protein sparing modified fast, but you can do that for 5 days, maybe 7 days. And that's where you like really limit the fat, where you're doing something like a 75% protein to 25% fat ratio diet for a while.
Yeah, for sure. So that I've done those. I've done a protein sparing modified fast, and I ate pretty much nothing but cod and ground heart every day. And I did that for 10 weeks. Actually, I did it for a long time. I think it was 10 weeks. And you have refeed days in between where you do introduce more fat. Because, I mean, doing real low fat for 10 weeks would be damn near impossible. It would be really hard. But... It's, like Tom said, it's not sustainable. You're hungry as shit. Like, you need to really... The fat is so critical to our overall health. Like, if you have your fat that low, it's hard.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, because fat's not only energy, but that's where... That's, like, the multivitamin is, too. That's where all the fat-soluble vitamins, and you need that fat to help absorb those vitamins, too. So it's another, like, 1-2 combo right there.
Yeah.
Like, fat is just so important to our diet. So is there anything else we need to talk about?
No, I don't think so. I think the big just the gist of it is eat whole foods. Don't rely on these keto supplements. Don't rely on this crap that's marketed as keto approved. Shop when you're going to the grocery store, shop around the outside aisles. Definitely hit the meat market. Definitely hit these areas. If you have a local kind of spot you can go to, like a local butcher, I recommend you go there. Meat should be the backbone of your diet. You need to get the protein from that. You need to get the vitamins and minerals from that. And don't fear fat. Add fat to all your meals, especially in the beginning. You know, you want to introduce fat to your body so it better burns fat. It's going to. And then as you progress, you can slowly start tapering the fat back. You don't need to add fat to a diet to have it be ketogenic. You're going to get, guess what? I don't care how lean you are, you have a couple hundred thousand calories of fat around your midsection right now, okay? So you don't need to introduce fat to be ketogenic. So as you go along, you can take off the fat and just find the ratio that works for you.
Yeah, definitely. I couldn't say it any better myself. Yeah, like the keto coffees are great if you need that extra source of fat, if you're going to use that as a meal replacement. We didn't really talk about organ meats. I'm a big fan of organ meats. I know you're a big fan of organ meats. Yeah. That's just, when we talk about nutrient density, those are the kings. And honestly, they're usually really cheap.
No one wants them.
Yeah, liver, super cheap most places. Heart, if you can find it, is pretty cheap most places. Those are pretty much the only two organs that I can find regularly. Outside of those two, maybe they're a little bit more expensive. I'm not sure. I've never really seen brain in a grocery aisle.
Or like spleen. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There was one other thing. Like, we were talking about animal fat. Like, I know we've been trained to fear animal fat. But just think of it this way. In, like, a ribeye, you're getting essential amino acids. All of your essential amino acids. So you don't need to pair something like rice and beans to get a complete amino profile like you would if you were eating plants. So it just simplifies it. You get all your protein, bioavailable form. You get all that taken care of just by eating a ribeye. Talk about essential fatty acids. You're getting omega-6s. You need to get those through your diet. You're getting omega-3s and their proper forms, that EPA and DHA, not that ALA form. You're getting those from that ribeye. So yeah, you just eat that ribeye, you get all your protein, you get all your fat requirements, and you're also getting tons of vitamins and minerals that we don't even really have time to go into just from that one food. Like, that's, to eliminate that, you're just overcomplicating your diet so much more.
Yeah, exactly.
Now you have to find other sources to get these in the right ratios. We've been eating ribeyes for thousands of years, maybe millions of years. Like, that's our go-to source.
It is.
And that's also why they taste so damn good. It's because they're so nutritious for us.
Yeah, our brain knows.
Yeah.
And like you mentioned, essential. So just if people don't know, if a macronutrient is termed essential, that means we have to get it from our diet. So is there a term called essential carbohydrates? No. There is nothing essential about carbohydrates. Our body can simply make it themselves through a process called gluconeogenesis. But there are things as essential amino acids and essential fatty acids. And you get both of those from animal-based products.
Yeah, that one ribeye steak is just basically replacing every single supplement you could take it. You know, get rid of all of them and just replace them with a ribeye.
That's it, man. And that's like the best advice we can give you.
Yep.
Yeah. So I think that's how you do keto right, man. If you listen to that, you'll kill the game. You'll be doing it way better than most people.
Yeah, I mean, we could cherry pick a lot of information, kind of get down into the weeds, but honestly, it doesn't need to be that simple. Hey, humans were eating this way millions of years ago, and I'm pretty sure they were dumber than we are now.
Yeah, it doesn't need to be that complicated.
Like, right? I don't think that they knew how to do advanced calculus or anything like that. Like, hey, we're smart. We should not be getting outsmarted by cavemen. Come on now.
Yeah.
Like, we have all this technology, all this science at our fingertips, but we don't know how to use it. And nutrition doesn't need to be complicated. It really is just that simple. Put a very fatty piece of meat, maybe add a plant if you want to, add a bunch of fat to it too, and then you're good. Just fat all over your plate and you're good to go.
You'll be good to go. And it'll taste delicious.
Yeah.
Well, all right. Well, did you have a tip of the week this week?
Yeah. So this one's pretty important, especially with all the holidays coming up. And then even, I don't know if this is going to come out before New Year's or after New Year's, but right around New Year's. So, hey, a lot of things just aren't going to your plan right now. Everybody's schedules are getting all mixed up with the holidays. And maybe if you are listening to this after New Year's, you're trying to start a New Year's resolution, this tip is like perfect for you. So this is about if-then planning. So, hey, I'm going over to my girlfriend's parents' house for Christmas Eve. So, hey, that's something that's not in my typical schedule. So if this happens, then this needs to happen. So if I'm going over to somebody's house, then I eat beforehand. So that's one trick that I always use to make sure I'm staying on track with my diet. I don't want to, everybody knows that Snickers commercial, you're not you when you're hungry. I want to be me as much as I can. I like being me. So if I'm going to go somewhere and eat, I don't want hunger to make me fill up my plate with mashed potatoes and some rolls, because those are the first things I see. Like, I want to eat what I want to eat. So I want to eat that fatty cut of meat, that tri-tip, whatever else is going to be out there. And hey, if those mashed potatoes look good, then hey, I'll try some. But I don't want to be eating a ton of mashed potatoes because hunger is controlling me. Like, another thing is, like, hey, if you're traveling, you're at a hotel. So, hey, if I don't have access to my gym, then I'm going to take the stairs. That's one thing I always do. My girlfriend hates it anytime we go to a hotel. And, like, all right, so I'm on vacation. Obviously, I'm not training. So I'll fit in some sort of training session. I'll carry our bags. I'll take them up the stairs. Maybe if I'm staying on, like, floor 50, maybe I'll take the damn elevator.
Yeah.
But if I'm we're cheap. We don't stay at fancy hotels. 5 floors or less, I carry our bags at 5 floors. Sure. You know, stuff like that. So, like, hey, if I don't have access to this, then I'm going to do this. Like, you should come up with this plan before that happens too. So, we talked about this earlier. Like, if you're driving around, you have a busy day, you have access to any food and you're hungry. Almost anywhere you can go, you can get a hamburger without the bun. Pretty much ketogenic right there. You remove the ketchup, tomato, barbecue sauce, definitely ketogenic. Like, it's not that hard to find options. If I'm at a gas station and I'm hungry, pork rinds. Like, you know, so, like, just come up with this plan ahead of time. That way you don't even have to make a decision. You already know. You already made that decision months in advance. Just makes sticking to anything so much easier.
Yeah. I mean, that's a great tip. That's just a great little method to survive life. Like, life throws crazy shit at us. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And it's like, it's always better to have that plan.
Exactly. Be planned. Go into the everyday plan, and you'll succeed. So the ketogenic diet is possible. It's great. It's healthy, especially with that plan backing it up. You can do it. Well, all right. Well, that's another episode in the books. Thank you for listening. You can find us at TNTWellnessAndNutrition.com. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. So feel free to reach out anytime.
Yeah, please share this podcast with a friend if you know anybody that's new to the ketogenic diet or struggling with it. Also, we have a donate button on our homepage, so if you want to show your support, please feel free to donate. It's a bright yellow button, kind of scroll down to the bottom. If you want to show your support another way, please rate and subscribe on your favorite podcast provider. We're on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and YouTube. Hope everybody has a happy and healthy week.